You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
This issue just might drive the Republican race for the White House next year.
Bottom line is that to move our state forward, Wisconsin needs a modern economy. We cannot remain mired in the antiquated system.
Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Republican Scott Fitzgerald, the sponsor of the state's Right to Work bill that will allow people to opt out of union membership and union dues in private sector industries.
Disgusting!
Union busting!
What's disgusting?
Union busting!
Those are pro-union protesters trying to prevent a statewide movement from further eroding union power, since Governor Scott Walker led the battle in Wisconsin to roll back public sector union power and even survived a statewide recall vote. As Wisconsin state lawmakers begin debating the so-called right to work law, this issue is helping to position Governor Walker as a presidential candidate. Walker became the first GOP presidential hopeful to open an office in Iowa. He's also hired advisors in New Hampshire. Joining us is Patrick Marley, state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and co-author of More Than They Bargained For, Scott Walker, Unions and the Fight for Wisconsin. Welcome, Patrick.
Thanks for having me on.
How is the right to work a state issue, and why does Scott Walker believe it could be a national issue?
Well, it's one of the few areas of private sector labor law where states have some say in how things are run. Most decisions are made at the federal level. But half the states, 24 of them, have put into effect right-to-work states. Scott Walker wants to make us the 25th one. He's made his national reputation on taking on unions. He has really shied away from this issue in the past, but in the recent days has said he's going to sign it. And I think he believes it'll help bolster his credentials with conservatives.
Now, is he reading the tea leaves that suggest there's money in this, in the sense that fundraisers are supporting this as an issue, or has he suddenly found some other kind of argument for embracing this when he was walking away from it only a few months ago?
This appears to be pushed by the legislature. We have Republicans controlling both houses. Right after the elections, the Senate Majority Leader said he was taking on this issue. He was going to make sure that there would be a debate on this in the first half of 2015. I think Scott Walker knows that, you know, he had no option really other than to sign it.
Do the protests in Wisconsin help Walker, do you think, nationally, or do they give him headaches here in the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, I don't think they're giving him any headaches. I mean, these protests are large by typical standards, but tiny compared to the historic ones we had in 2011. At that time, there were as many as 100,000 people at the state capitol. There were sustained protests for a month. I don't think this is in any way hurting him in a Republican presidential primary. I suppose if he gets the nomination and he goes on, it, you know, hardens opposition against him. So that could be a longer term problem.
Looking at the race, you know, Jeb Bush is very, very familiar, almost boring. Chris Christie is like been there, done that. These are individuals who have huge credibility, but not necessarily a lot of electricity. And then you've got Rand Paul, who's a fringy, and you've got Marco Rubio, who's not necessarily a seasoned candidate. Does Walker see how he stands out from the crowd here? Get into his mind for us.
Walker kind of got on the map in 2011 with these changes to public sector collective bargaining and then the protests they elicited. And then a year later, really became a national hero to conservatives because of the attempt to recall him and his ability to become the first governor in the country's history to survive a recall. So he's been around for a while. From the national media's perspective, they seemed not to catch on that he could be a very viable candidate for president until January and his speech in Iowa. And so I think he's only now coming under the scrutiny that, you know, Chris Christie and a Rand Paul and a Ted Cruz have lived through.
Does he want to go the distance?
He's given every appearance that he wants to. I mean, you know, he's set up a 527, which appears to be, for all intents and purposes, a way to test the waters. He's got Operation in Iowa set up. He's got Operation in New Hampshire set up. He's heading to both those states soon. I would be totally shocked if he doesn't run. He is a guy who thinks a lot about campaigns. He's very savvy. He's run for office, you know, basically every 2 years since he's been in his early 20s. If he gets in, which I would suspect that he will have a plan to go as far as he can.
He tests the proposition that he'll either prove it or disprove it, that if you can win the nomination and become the darling of the GOP conservative base, you can't win the general. He can either prove or disprove that proposition this time around.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. Certainly, I think one of his assets is that he is able to bridge the establishment conservatives and the Tea Party conservatives. And so I think if he were to get the nomination, you wouldn't have the problem you had with Mitt Romney where, you know, a substantial portion of Republicans don't think he's conservative enough. Just as if they had nominated someone who's more conservative than Romney, that the establishment Republicans would have been queasy about that. I think with Scott Walker, if he were to get the nomination, that he would be embraced by all parts of the party. And you see that in this early polling. Just the other day, Quinnipiac had a poll out, and, you know, conservatives like him a lot, and very few conservatives don't dislike him. I think his net favorability rating was 50%, which is extremely high. Led the field. This was of Iowa caucus goers. Led the field. So he's really being embraced here.
I don't know what the budgets are like there at the Journal Sentinel, but are they going to let you follow him all the way, Patrick?
Oh, we have every intention of following him as closely as we can. We have a reporter in Washington, D.C. We've got a team of people who will be following him in Iowa and New Hampshire. We'll be there every step of the way.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Patrick Marley is state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and co-author of More Than They Bargained For, Scott Walker, Unions and the Fight for Wisconsin.
The Takeaway is supported by ShopKeep, a POS analytics and management system that works to help people grow their businesses. More information at shopkeep.com. TIAA Cref, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org. Lumosity.com, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. With brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program. Performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting the second-best exotic Marigold Hotel. The new comedy directed by John Madden, starring Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nye, Dev Patel, and Richard Gere. In theaters everywhere March 6th.